But today, I'd like to talk about deep, lasting, ultimate love. And that's not romantic love. As nice as romantic love is, deep, lasting, ultimate love is found in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God so loved that he gave. God is love. He has such deep love for us that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus. God the Father, in his love, is generous and giving. He has saved us by giving us Jesus. God in his love is generous and giving. And he has saved us by giving us Jesus. You know, we saw last week, we were reading Revelation chapter 4, and we saw this vision of God sitting on a throne. In this vision, God is shown as being brilliant. This deep, brilliant rainbow surrounds him. Thunder and lightning come out of his presence. He has angels around him. And those angels continually worship him. He's the very definition of majesty, glory, and power. Revelation 4:8 says, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." That's what the four creatures that are around God say constantly. They're constantly worshiping him. He is holy, holy, holy. He is almighty. He is the one who was and is to come. So the Lord God Almighty, the one who created all things, the one who needs nothing. God has no need. He doesn't need anything, but he loves us so much. He loves us more than we know. He loves us enough to give us his Son. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus. That was God the Father. Jesus in his love is generous and giving. Philippians tells us that Jesus emptied himself and he gave up the glory of heaven to live among us and die for us. And if you, as we picture Revelation and what we talked about last week, and you picture the glory of heaven, and Jesus gave that up to be here. You know, it wasn't technically Olean, but it was earth, to live like us. He never had air conditioning. He never drove a car. He walked in the mud. He gave all that up out of his love. You know, next week we're going to be reading Revelation chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at this scroll. There's a scroll that God holds in his right hand, and there's this search. Is there anyone worthy to open the seals that seal this scroll and then to open up the scroll? And we'll talk about what the scroll is and all that next week, but they go all around heaven and earth, all of creation, all of heaven, and there is only one who is worthy to open the scroll. Only one. It's not you, it's not me, it's not Abraham Lincoln. It's Jesus. And what I find shocking is why he is worthy. It's surprising why he is worthy. See, if I were going to write the book of Revelation, I'd be talking about, you know, he is worthy because he's Jesus. He's God. But that's not what Revelation tells us. Listen to this. Revelation 5, 9, and 10. We'll be reading again next week. They sing, the angels in heaven, they sing a new song. They're singing this to Jesus. "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased men for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Jesus is worthy to open the scroll because of his perfect sacrifice for us. He was obedient to God the Father, even to death on a cross, and he brought us forgiveness. He brought us restoration. Because of his sacrifice, he is called worthy. I started this sermon with John 3:16. Now I'd like to read 1 John 3:16. It's not necessarily as well known, but it's also a very powerful verse. 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down for us, laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Now that's hard. Maybe it's one reason why it's not as well known as John 3:16. It's a lot easier to think of God sacrificing Christ for us than because Jesus laid down his life, we are called to lay down ours. But we are called to be like Christ. We're called to love, to serve, to sacrifice for others, just like Jesus does. And I'm going to push that a little bit today. While I'm nudging, I'd like you to ask yourself a question. Is there something in this message for me? Does God have something for me in this? As I go on with this, consider it like a mirror to look in. Is there some change God wants of you, of me? I'll tell you, that's not easy to do. I've been in the middle of that mirror experience myself, and it's not pleasant. It's not fun. But it's very important. So we're called to love. We're called to love, to serve, to sacrifice for others. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, of course, the love chapter, tells us about love. And one thing it makes very clear, one thing that is very clear about 1 Corinthians 13, love is other-centered. Love is, I'm not thinking about me, I'm thinking about others. Love focuses on others and their needs. So are we willing to love others? As the Bible defines it. Are we willing to give, to sacrifice for people? Are we willing to give and sacrifice for people we hardly know? Or maybe even harder, sacrifice for people we know and we really don't even like very much. You know who they are. Godly love is hard. I mean, it is super hard. And there's at least two reasons. Godly love is hard because we don't like to sacrifice. We don't like to serve. Right? We're busy, aren't we? We have lots of stress. We have lots of things going on. We have a lot of problems in our lives. We want to be served, right? We want to relax. We want to rest. About 10 years ago, I had a hernia that needed to be operated on, and Billy Joe and I were at the doctor, and it was great that Billy Joe was along because the doctor was going to schedule surgery. It was going to take a couple of weeks, and the doctor said now to Billy, he looks right at Billy Joe and says, now, he really shouldn't be doing very much. So when he comes home from work, make sure you sit him down in a real comfortable chair and just make him rest. And, he starts with, bring him a beer. And I said, well, I don't really drink beers. Well, bring him an iced tea. And, get comfortable shoes for him. And, he can't take out the trash. He can't help with the dishes. I'm thinking, this is great. Can we put off the surgery for like a decade? You know? We want to rest. We want to relax. We want to be served. Now, certainly there are times where we need to rest. Certainly there are times to be served. We need margin in our lives. We need to make room for ourselves. There are times of illness. There are times of deep struggle where we need extra time to be served. But there needs to be some balance here. To be true to Christ, some of the balance in our lives needs to be serving others. To sacrifice, even. If we think of Jesus giving up heaven, I don't know how you picture heaven, but I picture it being really, really nice. Picture it being an awful lot nicer than any place on earth, including Western New York in the middle of February when it's windy and cold and people don't want to go outside. He gave all that up. And we need to be like that. So yeah, we need margin. And you know, some of the margin we may need to do, some of the sacrifice we may need is to give up some things we like so that we have time to serve. That's one reason why it's hard. Godly love is super hard because we don't like to serve. We don't like to sacrifice. It's also hard because we can get hurt. Godly love means being vulnerable. I got to tell you, I hate vulnerability. Right? I do. But to love is to care deeply enough that others' actions can hurt us. To serve and sacrifice and have it thrown in your face. To serve, to sacrifice, and be told off for it. To serve and sacrifice and be told you're worthless or that was worthless or anything hateful. And godly love is that when we're hurt, we lick our wounds, we ask God to help us, and we love more. And we can't do that without God. There's just no way. We need the Holy Spirit guiding us. We need the Holy Spirit strengthening us. So my question for you today, the day after Valentine's Day, is will you love? That question seems simple enough. Will you give yourself for others? Will you be other-centered? Will you serve and sacrifice? In the words of 1 John 3:16, will you lay down your life for other people? There are some things that might look like, and I want to talk about it as far as loving people in the body and loving people who are not yet in the body, loving the lost. Loving people in the body can mean things like getting to know people well enough, getting to know their needs, their struggles well enough to pray for them. And that's more than just your closest friends. It can be things like during the greeting time when I say about, you know, greet somebody you haven't seen in a year, and we all chuckle, well, don't keep greeting the people you always greet. Greet some other ones. Being able to get to know people well enough, though, isn't going to be done in a greeting time. It may mean taking some time, and time tends to be our most precious asset, isn't it? Being in church, being in Sunday school, being in a small group, coming to some kind of a fellowship so that you can get to know people better. And that's why. Now, I am going to go so I can know them better. Loving people in the body can be helping people to grow. Proverbs 27:17, you may not recognize it by its address, but you'll probably recognize the phrase, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. That may mean that you should attend some kind of a small group, some kind of a class, even though you don't need to. It may mean going, even though you're not teaching, going so you can help somebody else get sharper. If you think you're sharp enough, if you think you know enough, there's still the idea of helping everybody else. Paul talks about a race and the Christian life being a race, but this isn't a race against each other. This is a race that we all need to walk through together. Helping people in need. You know, Billy Joe and I are very thankful for all the people who have done a tremendous amount of stuff to help us as Billy Joe has been sick. People who have helped care for her, people who have helped clean. It's wonderful when people help each other. It's the church being the church, reaching out to people. Doing things when you really don't want to. Doing things when you'd rather do something else. Because they need it. I've been to two funerals recently. One a couple weeks ago was up at Houghton, and it was the father of a friend of mine who was a professor. He's just retired. Paul Shea is a professor. Alton Shea, the brother of George Beverly Shea. And when I went into the church, Paul Shea greeted me, and he said, thank you for representing the district and representing your church and coming here. And I just said, Paul, I just came for you. Because, not because I like going to funerals, but Paul, I need to be here for you. To know you're not, so you know you're not alone. I didn't want to do that. Loving people not yet in the body, loving the lost. You know, it's getting harder and harder to live a biblical lifestyle in our culture. Getting harder and harder to live like the Bible calls us to live. I mean, if you're reading news at all, you don't have to read very long before you find somebody else who is in legal trouble because of their convictions, biblically. We're increasingly facing difficult decisions of who rules our life. Does Rome rule? Does social correctness rule? Or does Jesus rule? In this country, teachers being fired for something they put on a Facebook page at their own time, their own Facebook page, had nothing to do with school, and it wasn't even hateful. People being arrested because of how they will or will not serve others. Living out Jesus Christ in everyday life is getting harder and harder. But one of the things we can do is share what Jesus has done for you. One thing we can do is decide now, I am going to decide that I follow Christ. Now, that doesn't mean I should be obnoxious. Hopefully, that means you shouldn't be obnoxious. But I'm going to do what's right. One of the things that would mean is sharing what Jesus has done for you, is like share your faith. Speak up a little bit. Talk about Christ. I'm not talking about lead somebody to Jesus. I'm not talking about quoting the five spiritual laws, the Roman road, or any of those kind of things. But just, you know what Jesus means to me? He is life. I was purposeless, and he has given me purpose. I was going down such a terrible road you just wouldn't imagine, and he has helped me. Sharing what Jesus has done. Connecting with people around us. You know, what are the hurts of the people around us? The people you work with the most, do you know what their hurts are? What their needs are? Leave your agenda behind and just try to serve them a little. Be respectful, be considerate, be loving, be authentic. Just be you. And just, how can I help you? All this is daunting, talking about reaching out. I have a couple of ideas for you. To reach out, we start with prayer. Praying for specific people. I pray for three. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not open to share with others, but there are three men who I very deliberately, daily pray for coming to Christ. Start praying for somebody. Ask the Holy Spirit who to pray for. Then start asking the Holy Spirit to give you open doors. Give me a way to help that person. Give me a way to be nice. Pray for confidence. Pray for boldness. Not meanness, but boldness. You know? You look like you're really struggling, and here's ways I can help you, but it seems to me that God could help you a lot more than I can. Let me tell you how God has helped me. That's very politically incorrect. And as often as not, you'll probably have it thrown back in your face. Okay? So then talk to people. Talk to this specific person like you would any other friend. I mean, you know, don't put any special kind of a voice, you know. Almost everybody can generate some kind of a preacher voice. Oh, Lord. You know. Don't worry about some kind of a plan. I don't think, if we're trying to help people, I don't think we need to be going in with, I got to memorize these five verses so I can rattle these off. You know, and he's talking to somebody and they say something. Oh, you don't talk. You're going to interrupt me. I got to start again. But deal with them where they are. So that's this thing about what are their hurts, what are their needs. You know, you're having trouble with your family. Maybe I know some help. Maybe I can help. Last summer, one of my neighbors had been away for a vacation, and they take care of their lawn pretty well. And it turned out they came home while I was doing this, which got a little awkward, I thought. But I was cutting the grass, and I decided to cut their lawn. You know, I was using the church tractor. It's not like it's an awful lot of work. But it's a small lawn, and, you know, especially compared to the church stuff. So I'm cutting their grass. Actually, they pulled up in the driveway coming home from their vacation while I'm there. I would have preferred to have been gone. But... you know, it didn't take long, and that meant a lot to them. I could just tell later in conversation that he was sure he was going to have a terrible time getting his grass cut. And with his lawnmower, he probably would have. The tractor did a little more powerful and did a better job. What are their needs? How can we serve them? Instead of coming with a plan, what can I do for you? Deal with them where they are, depending on the Holy Spirit to help. You know, start with where they are, not with where you want them to be, not with where you are, where their life is. And tell them what Jesus means to you. I think if we quit trying to teach some kind of specific plan and just say, this is what God means to me. I had once, and maybe we'll do this again, I had challenged people to write in 100 words or less your testimony. Okay, now that's hard. Maybe you just want to take that as a homework assignment. 100 words or less. The idea of 100 words or less is you can remember it more or less, and you can say it really quickly. Okay, last time we did it, I had somebody give me like 8 pages of handwritten small print. And this is as small as they could get it. And it was brutally detailed. Okay. But 100 words or less, and the idea is what I was, then Christ, what I am. Where I go with it, and all what I have to remember is purpose. Because where I go with is I just felt purposeless. There was really no purpose in my life. But as Christ came into my life, He has given me purpose. He has given me meaning. Well, that was less than 100 words. But just to be able to share it with people, that's what Jesus has done for me. I have deep fulfillment because of Christ in my life. That's how I know He's real. And then pray some more. Keep praying. Pray for the person. I've been praying for these 3 people two of them for over a year. One of them is more recent. And I'm going to pray for them until one of 3 things happens. They come to Christ, they die, or I die. There we are. They're on my list. I want to give you a new challenge. Yeah, thanks. That's all I need, right? I gave you homework, and I'm going to give you a challenge. Okay? Easter is coming. Easter is April the 5th. Okay? Now, the cool thing about the fact that Easter is coming is that means spring is coming. It can't be more than 20 years away. Right? Easter, Easter is coming. By April the 5th, by Easter, could you share with one person? Reach out to one person. Try to help them. Try to share what Christ means to you. Something like that. One. It's almost 2 months. I'm asking you to take that challenge. Think of the change you can make in that person's life. It's amazing how God can change hearts as we serve Him. It's amazing what happens in people's hearts. And I would love for you to be able to see it. I would love for you to be able to experience it firsthand. People who are hard, people who are bitter, people who are mean, all of a sudden they are kind of nice. Maybe somebody who seems to absolutely hate your guts. Somebody who you'd rather have your arm pulled out of its socket than talk to them right now. I don't know. They might become good friends. I had that happen. Somebody became a good friend. And when I had first met that person, I would have rather talked to almost anybody than him. It's really fun to watch God change people. And I think as we reach out, as we share Christ with people, He will change them. Lord God, as we go, Lord, grow in us Your grace. Grow in us the knowledge of You. And to You be all glory, all honor, forever and ever. Amen.